Lisa would please come back to order. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor, I just assumed that we had all the committees back. Now I'm not sure. I wonder if we got health off the floor.
No, Mr. Chairman's right here.
Okay, good. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the committee of the whole to discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Kinski. Senator Kinski. There you go.
There's no more. Yeah, but they could both have appropriations on them.
What about the ones for
the that's appropriate.
Is this my first one here?
Two that I can't get up.
It is what it is.
That's all we got.
Okay. Senator Cooper. Please.
Members of the Senate, today I'd like to have you welcome the leaders from the Wyoming lodging, restaurant, and tourism industry. They're here in town for the annual Governor's Hospitality and Tourism Conference that maybe some of you will be involved with tonight. So if you can, we'd like you to stand up, all the tourism people, and we'd like to give you a hand. Welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Von Flatter.
Never want to be outdone by the southwest part of the state. We do have a contingency from Campbell County here for the hospitality and tourism conference. It's going tourism conference that's going to be held this evening. And from Campbell County is Ken Barkey, Mary Silvanel, Terry Soljan, Shelley Bessel, and Claudia Erlob. Would you please welcome them to the Senate?
Yeah.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member of the Senate, the chairman of one of our standing committees brought something to my attention today, and I wanted to share it with you. And just a word of caution, evidently there was an envelope passed out to a particular standing committee, and in that was a gift card, and it happened to be that there was a bill that we're discussing, that there was a potential relationship between them. I think that clearly creates a conflict, so just be smart about what you do when you get some of these things, and a gift card certainly is cash, and we all understand the thing about cash and voting and all that, so just be careful and cautious. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else? Senator Kraft? Did you want to be recognized?
I did not.
All right.
Yeah, Mr. Majority
Chairman, Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is the Wyoming legislature, not certain other states where that's sort of the rule rather than the exception.
The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 55. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 55, Nurse Licensure Compact 1, an act relating to the Nurse Licensure Compact, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Oh, excuse me.
It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Thank you. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so the recommendation that House Bill
55 do pass, and I yield to Senator Driscoll for an explanation of the House bill.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you this nice little book right here. We're going to make it pretty fast and smooth for you. This is a compact bill that merely brings Wyoming in line with 25 other states working towards a compact for nursing. This bill's pretty important, particularly to all of your hospitals. They all use nurses across state lines. It takes them up to 18 months now to get them licensed out of another state to get them back into Wyoming. A lot of them give up. They got rent of nurses that come through, and they're expensive. This allows them to do a reciprocity across lines and be able to do them. And with that, I would stand for questions or move the bill.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, two questions. One is, if this is a compact, so it's basically the same document circulated amongst all the states, what could you explain what the amendment was in the House? That's why we have a copy in the color green. And if you could also get an explanation of the fiscal note on the original bill, which shows that in 2018 it's going to cost the state $103,000, and in fiscal year 19 it's going to cost us $374,000.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, what the House did was, as the bill was originally drafted, there were some amendments that could have been considered conforming in our existing statutes. The LSO attorneys took a careful look at that and came to the House and said those amendments were not necessary, and the House removed them. So it related to some things we didn't need to do in our existing statutes. Second, Mr. Chairman, with regard to the fiscal note, what this is doing is letting nurses get licensed in a home state and then just automatically move across the borders into other states. It'll make the nurses with their licensure much more mobile. And the result of that is the nursing people will not be collecting as many license fees, because they won't have to license people. They'll be able to reduce their workload. And we think that it probably will be this compact that you're ratifying here includes a background check provision, and the reason we hadn't been in this nurse's compact so far has been that there wasn't a background check component. They're putting one into their compact, but it won't go into effect until at least 25 states have ratified that modification. And the expectation is that probably will not occur until the first fiscal year of the next biennium. And I think by then, as I understand what's going on with the nursing board, they think that they'll have a better fix on what it'll do to their workload, and they may adjust their own licenses to compensate. They may save enough so they don't have to. Clearly, it's going to be a saving for the nursing profession as a whole, and we don't expect that there will be an adjustment beyond adjustment of the standard appropriation we make for any of these licensing boards that are basically spending money that they generate from their own profession. And we don't think it'll happen until the next biennium. So that's why there's no appropriation needed with this. There's just that impact. And the only real difference between the compact you see before you and the one that has been present, and I think, I forget how many states have, it's over half, I think, was the background check requirement, and they've now decided to add that to the standard compact, and will come in once that is in place.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, neither on nor against the bill, just curious. So I understand that the amount of money will be going down because previously nurses from other states had to buy the license here. So I'm assuming that this is actually would have been money going to an enterprise fund for the Board of Nursing. But I'm and if I'm wrong, please let me know. Other than that, I'm curious if the sponsors of the bill know what the is the nursing license fee set by the Board of Nursing, and how do our fees compare with other states?
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow on with that, because my interest is similarly aligned with my good friend from Sheridan County, and that is the other element is that is as the Board of Nursing done the projections to figure out that they can absorb this into their budget to make sure that, this ends up and this doesn't put them in a bind as they regulate themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, frankly, I don't know what the current nursing license fee is. We could find out if you really need to know. But we didn't ask that. They have done some projections. I'm not sure how good they are. I think what they haven't really figured out yet is what they think it's going to do to their workload and thus their expenses. I know there was quite a bit of discussion within the Board of Nursing before going forward on this, was could they stand the reduction in income because they won't get these licensing fees from the other nurses coming in. But I believe the experience from the other states showing that they probably can, and if they have to make some adjustment to their license fees, it's not such that they thought would be a problem. So it will save the nurses themselves quite a bit of money because it'll help Wyoming nurses that want to work out of state on a temporary basis. It will help the nurses coming in because they won't have to charge extra. It will speed the process up for our hospitals who were present in committee and vigorously in favor because this makes life a lot easier for them because they do on occasion have to use these traveling nurses, and it'll be a lot quicker to do now. It increases the mobility of the profession across state lines, and that appears to be beneficial for everybody.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I asked about the fees and the fees in other states is my understanding of this bill now is if we enter into this compact, one nursing license in any one of these states is good for reciprocity in any other state. So I'm wondering if just the yes, it will save the nurses a lot of money, but I'm wondering if there may not be some sort of race to the bottom. Whoever has the cheapest license fees will suddenly have an influx of nursing license applications because it's good anywhere. So if we're among the highest, we may have a complete, a big abandonment of nursing license fees, but if we're near the bottom, we may have an influx. Also, I was also curious as to how many other states are in this nursing compact right now.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's 24 other states in there. It doesn't take effect until 2018 or 25 states, I believe they told us. Probably this is not going to take effect for a couple of years. I guess the bottom line, the big deal, it's a savings for a nurse, but who it's really a savings for is the hospitals that need nurses right now that have a hard time getting them, and it takes them up to 18 months to get them licensed to get in here. So they end up going with really high-priced alternatives to the nursing, and it's a big deal to the hospitals, and they represented that this is of major importance to them. We'll get the numbers for you on the other ones for second reading.
Thank you. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, and going along that line, I think that's just, this ends up being a pretty significant question. I mean, I don't know what the age is, but just checking that online, these seem to run from about $150 down to about $68 or $60. And so as you go from state to state, there's a big difference. And so ultimately, at some point, somebody's got to figure out what this does in the long run before we know if it's a, I don't think the State Board of Nursing is, you know, they want to be in control of their budget and their certifications and their income, and we want them to do that. But ultimately, this has a potentially long-ranging effect. So ultimately, I think that information needs to come back to the Committee of the Whole. So this bill has the concept is really good, but ultimately there's some real-world issues and fiscal effects that come out of this. So thank you.
Senator Perkins, thank you. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, one of the things I know, generally the way the other types of reciprocal licensing agreements we have in the state generally work in a system where whichever state you want to work in or operate in and receive a reciprocal license, generally you have to pay the fee in whatever state you're asking to operate in. So it doesn't make any difference. If you want to work in four states around us, you actually have to pay the yearly or whatever the fee is in each one of those states. It's only reciprocal by the fact you don't have to take the test and ask for the licensing test all over again in those states. So that's generally the way it works. So each state does receive its actual fee for reciprocal licensing in most cases. Now, whether this works that way or not, I'm not sure. Maybe the sponsor of this can tell us about that. But that's the way it generally works.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, the testimony in committee was that the way this one works is you don't have to pay that fee again. I suspect that the mechanism for keeping what was described as a race to the bottom is you got to get the homeless state licensure in the state you live in, and if you don't, if you see a big movement, there'll be an out-of-state license fee that will handle that.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 55, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59. Clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 59, Healthcare Statutory Compliance, an act relating to healthcare, sponsored by the Labor Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, and Peterson. No, Senator Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 65 do pass. There were no standing committee amendments, and I will explain the bill. This
point of order,
House Bill 56.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I think the next one is 59.
Oh, okay. I thought you read in 56. No, 59. Is that right, Mr. Chairman?
59? Yes, House Bill 59 was read in.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I will then move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 59 do pass. There were no standing committee amendments, and I yield to Senator Bonner for an explanation of the House bill.
Senator Bonner.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the name implies, you can see this is cleaning up some statutory references. And there's a few different moving parts here, so we'll just go through the bill. The first part on page 2 and 35-25-102, you can see we're adding dental to the CHIP program. That's already taking place in order to comply with federal statutes. It's already funded fully by the feds, so there's no fiscal changes associated with that, updating the statutory language. Moving on to the next section on line 16 and 17, you see they're just updating the division to reflect the reorganization that happened several years ago. And you'll see that it's a fairly consistent theme throughout this bill, especially when the Department of Health and Department of Family Services updated and consolidated or swapped around some of their the things that they accomplish. You see, that's a similar principle. there on page 3. It's just switching between the Department of Health and Department of Family Services. And then once again, at the top of page 4, also page 4, lines 12 through 15, you'll see that they're updating the ways in which you can apply for assistance benefits. It's no longer just a field office. You can call by telephone, mail, or even over the Internet. So that's updating that new practice. And moving on, you'll see it's just more organizational reorganizations on page 5. And finally, the repealer on section 2 there on page 6. This used to be a waiver to include families in KidCare CHIP. It's no longer allowed by the federal government, so we're repealing that section to, once again, comply with federal statutes. So that's the bill. It's, like I said, several updates of either reorganizations or federal statutes which have already taken place, already changed. So with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I was the no vote in committee on this bill. And the reason is over on page 4. Mr. Chairman, what's happened, our statutes have all along called for the Department of Family Services to do eligibility for the Medicaid program. And a number of years ago, the executive branch just changed that on their own. I think they may have talked to JAC about it, but they didn't talk to the legislature as a whole, didn't get the statute changed. And what they did was they put in a fancy new online computer system that was designed so everybody could apply online. And it's in, and it's finally operational. But right now, the applications can be made by telephone, by mail, in person, at an eligibility service center here in Cheyenne that the Department of Health operates, where they hire 45 people. Now, they're not state employees. They're, it's a 901 or whatever, 900 series or whatever it is contract. But it's a big operation here in Cheyenne, as opposed to being decentralized around the state, or they can apply over this new internet system. The testimony we had was that most of the applications come in by telephone. There's 5 or 10% that are coming in over the internet. This is not a group that is got good access to or very sophisticated about using computers, and there's 5 or 10% that are still coming in through the Department of Family Services field offices. Everybody is then put through the internet system, whether the data entry is done by the applicant or by the service center or by DFS. And there was some testimony they thought they were reducing the fraud rate. In the process, I don't know whether there's any evidence of that or not. My objection, Mr. Chairman, they've given us a fiat accompli. They've just gone ahead and done it. That's not proper. It should have been a bill change at the time, but the executive branch is getting in the habit of ignoring the bills we pass and just going ahead and doing what it wants. And, you know, it would be a major mess to change it at this point, Mr. Chairman. But I voted no in protest for that way of proceeding by the executive branch.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 59, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56. Clerk will please read the roll. Bill.
House Bill 56, Advanced Practice Nurse Licensure Compact, an act relating to the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Compact, sponsored by the Labor Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, now I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, that it do so the recommendation that House Bill 56 do pass. And I apologize earlier, I just automatically assumed without looking carefully at that distance that the bills were in numerical order, and they're not. Mr. Chairman, this is the companion to the Nurse Practice Compact. Little differences here. This is the advanced practice nurses. These are the nurses that are educated well beyond what the other nurses are. They do specialize. There's nurse midwives. There's the advanced practice nurses. There's several others. There's nurse anesthetists. They have what's called full practice statutes, meaning they can basically do virtually anything within their scope of practice. The standard advanced practice nurses in this state do not have to practice in association with the physician. They can write prescriptions. They can do everything except admit patients to a hospital, but that's up to the hospitals whether they credential these nurses to admit patients or not. They are in many ways equivalent of a family physician. What's going on with the compact is that it will allow, as in the other case, the nurses, once they get licensed in one state, to practice in the other compact states. We are the first that will pass this, providing we move quicker than Idaho can, as I think, and I think we will, but we're going to be the first. And it doesn't take effect until you get 10 states or we reach December 31st of 2018. And we think it will make a difference. We'll make it easier to recruit these kind of nurses to Wyoming, and that's the sort of thing that is very valuable in some of our smaller communities. I would inform the Senate that there is some upset amongst the anesthesiologists, the medical doctors who do anesthesia, because they're afraid that the nurse anesthetist will no longer have to practice in association with a medical doctor. This compact does not, repeat, not change the law in that respect at all. The circumstance on the ground is that if a hospital wants to get the licensure that CMS requires, Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, that requires us to license these hospitals, and all ours are, because they want to be paid by Medicare. They have to have the nurse anesthetist practicing under a doctor's supervision, and there is mixed feelings within the medical community. The anesthesiologists say, we got to hold tight on that. Some of the smaller hospital doctors, general doctors, say what these people are doing is beyond the scope of our professional abilities, and we feel uncomfortable promoting them and supervising them. But that's an internal fight within the medical communities. CMS allows an option on that The governor chose to exercise the option to require that those advanced practice nurses practice under physician licensure while they're in the hospital. Now, they're allowed under our laws outside the hospital if they're running a pain management clinic or something or involved in that. Then that requirement doesn't apply. But you may well get some emails from some of the anesthesiologists about this, but what they're talking about is a fight for another day or a fight trying to get the governor to change. It wasn't clear under the CMS rules whether that's strictly the governor's option or whether I told him, of course the legislature could tell the governor what to do in this matter, but that's not in this bill, and it's not relevant to the consideration of this bill. This bill is merely the compact that will allow us, ultimately, when we get 10 more states, to be much easier to get outside advanced practice nurses to come in. And there was unqualified support from the medical society. This could be quite a help to them, particularly to some of their doctors if they want to take some time off and need to get somebody in temporarily and help in dealing with some of our shortages of primary care providers we have around the state, Mr. Chairman. And so this looks to be entirely a good deal for the state of Wyoming. It does have some of the same financial risks, but frankly, I think those can be handled perfectly well, and I think will be handled. This will help us get in some of the people we most need. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Discussion. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on the physical profile of the original bill and then the engrossed. It looks like it's similar to the previous bill, but if the chairman could speak to that, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, exact same issues as the previous bill for exact same reasons. Numbers aren't as big.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Hearing that. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, the on page 26, the administrator of that commission from the state, it's saying that could be the state licensing board or designee. Is that an employee we already have, or is this an additional employee?
Senator Scott.
It's in all probability it will be the existing head of the nurse licensing board, or the executive secretary. It might be, possibly be the advanced practice nurse that's on the licensure board, but that's who it'll be an additional duty for one of those people. But we're reducing the licensing workload enough, so this will be a net savings to the state here.
Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 56, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Motion carries. That clears the desk, Mr.
Chairman? No. Report. We have to report that it passed, Mr. Chairman.
That bill passes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's not exactly what I wanted you to say. But being from Sheridan, I understand that, Mr. Chairman.
Point of order.
Senator Raffas.
House Bill 56 has passed the Committee of the Whole?
It has passed the Committee of the Whole. Thank you.
Say those words.
Thanks for the House Bill 56 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Bingo.
That clears the desk. Mr. Majority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole big rise to leave and sit again. And what we're going to do, members of the Senate, real quick, like we're going to read in a couple of bills that need to be re-referred. We're going to run to the JAC, re-refer them, come back out, work them on general file, and then we'll be have an early day and get out of here.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor of the majority floor leader's motion that the committee of the whole rise and report, please say aye.
Aye.
No, 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 no. Mr. Chairman, beg leave to rise and sit again.
Beg leave to rise and sit again. Sorry. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Motion. Motion carries.
Okay.
Don't read the script.
I think we got it.
Mr. Do we have reports from standing committees?
February 22, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, to whom was referred House Bill 10, Clean Water Revolving Fund Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Cooper, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 10 has an appropriation on it. I ask that without objection that it be re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations.
Would you be kind enough to read in the caption of the bill?
I'm sorry about that.
The title of the bill?
Exactly. Senate file House Bill 10, Clean Water Revolving Fund Amendment.
Okay. Without further objection, House Bill 10 is re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations. Do we have one other bill? Yeah. Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess till the sound of the gavel.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess till the sound of the gavel.
Boss. Mr. President, your Senate Appropriations Committee will meet in the Appropriations Committee room to hear the re-referral of House Bill 10, then we'll come back as soon
Perhaps
as we
you
can.
Could even meet in this little office over here. There's a little round table over
there. Well, you know what? We got to do a report, so.
Oh, okay.
So we got it'd be easier for my secretary to do it right there.
Good for you. Gets in a little exercise.
All right.
All right.
We're going down.
Okay. The Senate shall stand adjourned till sound of the gavel.
Recess.